Good morning. Thank the Lord for a rich, bountiful meeting.
Amen.
Just sitting here in heavenly places, thinking about how good God's been to me. I think it's Psalm 40 that says that He lifted me out of a horrible pit, set me upon a rock, and established my goings. I may not have that all right, but put a new song. I appreciate the special songs we sang that were sung this morning. I appreciate the spirit of the meeting. I appreciate the gospel of Jesus Christ and how He has saved me from sin. I committed many sins before I found Him, but when He found me, actually. And when He did, He delivered me and is still helping me to face and conquer my giants. In light of that, you know, we have something really good here this morning, don't we? You know, it's what the world needs. It's not what we've manufactured. It's not what the Church of God ministers got together and decided this is how we're going to run our services. All we're doing is by the help of the Lord carrying out His commission and following in His ways. And when anyone does that, an individual or a collective group of people, the Lord will richly bless. Now, I'd like your prayers this morning. I feel very needy this morning before the Lord. I feel very inadequate. But I'd like to read some scriptures for our consideration this morning. Luke, the 14th chapter and the 16th verse. Then said He, Jesus, unto him, "A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. There's not a whole lot of comment that needs to be said about this. It's very easy to apply this to our daily lives and to see that God gives us a choice what we're going to do with our lives. So that servant, another said, I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men that which were bidden shall taste of my supper. A while back, a group of people and I jointly decided to do an act of kindness for someone. And as we went to perform that, I remember knocking on the door, and the person came to the door, and we did what we came to do. And I remember his face. I want to communicate it to you like I feel it. This man's face, the way it lit up, and the dawning on him, these people care about me. And that night, I woke up in the middle of the night, maybe 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And when I woke up, that man's face was hovering in front of me. And at the very same time, this verse that says the word, well, it was a word, but I knew what verse it was from. It was the word compel. Yes. I don't know if you want to title the message that this morning, but that's the word I want you all to keep. You know what compel means? When we went there, we didn't just do something for this person and go home. Other people do things too. But we are called to take something. And that's the gospel, which is the most powerful, important thing that exists in the world today. And when we came to this man and we did what we did for him, his face, it glowed with appreciation. It was someone, I don't know if he even had a profession, but it was one of these that is out in the highways and the hedges. He was a poor man. He lived in a little house, and I don't know what all I need to say about him, but he was someone that needed help. And I, in the middle of the night, this man's face hovered in front of my face. And the word compel just came and stood out to me. Adam Clark says that this word means prevail upon them by the most earnest entreaties. Another commentator, John Gill, said, compel them to come to the house of God and church of Christ, to come and hear the word and quit their former course of living, and attend the word and worship of God, and upon an evidence of the truth of grace upon their souls, to come into a gospel church state and partake of all privileges and ordinances in it, to which they are to be compelled, not by outward force, but by forcible words, by powerful arguments, and by the strength of persuasion. I have worked very close to the retail business for a number of years. Wasn't actually in retail, but I installed store fixtures in different businesses, and I was amazed at the amount of things that people do to get your money. The color that they paint their walls, the music that they play in the store, the smell. All of those things are factors that as soon as you get in the door, they have, and they'll have, some of them will have a little popcorn stand there and a little coffee stand over here, and they'll have, they hire people to come and tell them marketing techniques. What I need to do to make my store as attractive as it can possibly be, to get as much revenue as I can possibly get repeat customers, get faithful, loyal, lifetime customers. Folks, if we were running a business today with the gospel, how successful would we be? Did you know there are techniques for getting people to come and hear the word of God? Did you know there's techniques? I don't know all the techniques, but that's where the Spirit of the Lord can help us. My burden this morning is that we will realize, for the very first thing we have to do is realize what we've got. Well, that's actually the second thing. The first thing we need to do is have it for ourselves. We need to have victory in our lives, and we need to experience the power of God and know exactly what He's done for us and where I was and where I could have been and where I'm going and the life that Jesus Christ has helped me to live. And if we can get a picture of that like David did when he said, the Lord brought me out of a miry pit and He set me upon a rock and He has put a new song in my mouth and all that. If we can have a vision of what the Lord's done for us and how much better we have it than we could have had it and that the world has it. I want to read a scripture in Matthew. No, it's not Matthew. Oh, it's still here in Luke 14. Just go back a few verses. Luke 14 and 12, then he said also unto them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Now that might not be exactly, I'm going to put in a little bit of a new light on it this morning, but folks, what we have, I want us to understand that what we have here this morning is so valuable. There are so many people whose lives, the scripture says, the ways of a transgressor are hard. It also says that all things work together for good to them that love God. That means that one of the benefits that I have by partaking in salvation is that now my life is going to be ordered in a way that's always for my good, for my benefit, for my ultimate salvation. The Lord wants me to go to His heaven. But He wants everyone to go to His heaven. But when they make the choice over and over again, I don't want that. We heard last night about what happened. The Lord will let you reject His gospel. He's a gentleman. He gives us a choice. But folks, there's a lot of people who are thirsty. And they want someone to come to them and make attractive the way of the gospel of Christ. There are too many people in the world today whose only exposure to Christianity is someone who will go to the restaurant. I saw an article written by a waitress, and she said, "I hate the Sunday crowd because they leave the least amount of tips." Folks, we are called to be honest in business, to be generous, to be kind, to show the love of Christ wherever we go, because we are supposed to be taking the gospel to them. It's not always about going around. When you go in the door of a business, does somebody usually meet you at the door and say, "So what are you going to buy today? Are you going to buy this or are you going to buy..." No, they'll come in. I went to buy a car one time. I didn't actually end up getting one there. But when I got there, there was a man. He held the door open for me. When I got in, somebody else told me that this happened to him. Put a bottle of water in his hand. Said, "Come on, they had everything for my comfort. But it was to get me to buy something. I want to ask you a question. How much do you care if what we have is so valuable? How important is it for other people to have it? We sit in these services and we say, "These are rich," and they are. And we get blessings to our souls, and I'm thankful for that. But I want to compare it a little bit this morning to sitting down to a feast. And we sit down to a feast, and then we say, in this meeting, it's a series of feasts. We sit down and the Lord blesses us. But sometimes I feel like we kind of get to where we're just, "I bless you and you bless me, and then I'm going to bless you again, then you're going to bless me again." We have this circle of people. But I want us to be cognizant of the fact that there are hurting people right outside these doors. And there's people in Africa, but that's not all the place. That's not the only place they're in. There's people within. If I was to draw a mile circle around this building and take the stories of the people inside that radius, then you would not believe some of the hurt and the heartache that there is, and how they long for something like what we've got. I had a guy, I'd take him fishing sometimes, and I'd talk to him, and you know, I was fishing for his soul. But, and I wouldn't, every time he got in the boat or every time we went in the car together, I wouldn't say, "So are you ready to get saved now?" Because that's not the way that you always do it. But folks, we're supposed to do things wisely and intelligently. And all the time, the goal and the cause is God's cause, which is for laborers to go and into the vineyard and bring souls in for Him. The Lord said, you know what the Lord's request is? Matthew 9:36, when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. This friend that I mentioned just a little bit ago, his life was a wreck. His wife left him because he wouldn't quit drinking. And he told me before she left him, he said, Every time I get drunk, she shoots herself up with drugs because she can't stand it. And so she puts herself out of her misery. His wife left him, and then he had a girlfriend. They had a child, and then the judge took away his child, and the girlfriend went to prison. It was awful. And he told me, he said, I want what you've got. I want the life that you have. I want the peace that you have. I want a family like you've got. He just wanted more than what he had. It's not very hard to want more than what you've got when you're in that kind of state, because he didn't have anything. The devil stole it all from him. There are people like that all over the place, folks. It's my burden this morning that instead of, and I'm not accusing us of anything this morning, and I don't want to put anybody on an unnecessary guilt trip, but while we're sitting here enjoying these services, I want us to think of something Jesus said. Jesus said, the Queen of the South shall rise up in condemnation of this generation. For lo, she came to hear Solomon's wisdom. I'm not quoting this totally right. From the uttermost part of the earth, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. I want to tell you that there are four lepers in the book of 2 Kings that are going to rise up in judgment against us if we have what is going to be the answer to all of the world's problems and all of the political divisions and all of the unrest and turmoil in the world, and we don't go and tell anybody about it. Maybe we'll go ahead and read that verse. It's in 2 Kings, the 7th chapter, I believe. Second Kings 7:9. There was a famine, a great famine, because of the siege around the city, around Samaria. And the Lord, I'm not going to reiterate the whole story, but while there was a famine, the enemy departed because of the workings of the Lord, and four lepers came into a tent there, and they had said, well, we're going to die anyway. Let's go and see if they'll give us a little bit of food. If they kill us, then we're going to die anyway, and if they don't kill us, then we're one step ahead of the game. And they came, the 9th verse, they were eating, and they were just passing food around, and I think they got some gold and silver and hid it, and they just had all this. It was more than they could even carry or handle, and I imagine they'd probably stuffed themselves by this time. And then in the 9th verse, they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. And so they went and did that. Folks, they had food, and they had silver and gold. You know what we have this morning? We have the gospel. We have something. If I want to tell you the very first step, if you think, you know, it's not such a big deal, well, I'm afraid that the Lord hasn't done for you what He wants to do for you. If you don't have a kind of testimony like that, where I would be a lost, wretched creature except for the blood of Jesus Christ, there are things that I used to do that I don't do anymore. There were sins I used to commit and addictions I used to have that I'm not a slave to anymore. If we don't have that testimony, any kind of testimony this morning, we're just clicking along, just living every day, then I can tell you that the Lord, before you can really take it and sell this to somebody else, you're going to have a work done in your heart. But when the work is done in the heart, the Lord does not want us to stop there. He wants us to be, and it should really, when we have this work done in our heart, it really should be more of an automatic thing. This is so wonderful, I can't keep it to myself. I'm driven to take this to as many people as I can. You have any cousins that are unsaved? Any uncles or aunts, grandparents, grandchildren? Did you know those are all in your sphere of influence? They're in your circle. You can't take the gospel to everyone. But there are some people that everyone can take the gospel to. Everyone has a circle of influence. Maybe it's your current friends. Maybe it's your former friends. Maybe it's your relatives. Maybe it's your spouse. But you have someone that you are responsible for. You're responsible for their soul. And if you get to the end, folks, it's not easy to preach in a negative sense this morning, but I'm afraid that if we just sit and we rake in all the blessings, oh, that service was good, oh, this is good, and we go and we bounce from camp meeting to camp meeting, and we don't do anything to try to get others to enjoy the wonderful things that we have, I'm afraid that when we get to the end, that those four lepers are going to say, you had something a lot better than we ever had. And we took it. We told it to the king. Because the key that the lepers held was the key to the bread that fed the whole city of Samaria. Bread was not an expensive commodity anymore. It was something that everyone had access to. And we have something this morning. I'm not trying to elevate our group. I'm not trying to elevate this body of people. But there are truths that you and I have been taught about how the Lord can deliver and save and fill with the Holy Spirit and direct and work all things for our good. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are people right here in America who know nothing. I was shocked. I say I had a friend, or he started coming to church. He just came right there from off the street, had a little house he lived in right there, and he came and he knew nothing. He said, I told him my wife's dad was a missionary. He said, what's a missionary? He had no idea. Folks, there are people right here that do not know. There are people in Africa that do not know. There are people in Europe that do not know. In Australia, in every place that you can think of. Jesus, it said that when he saw the people fainting, they fainted. They didn't have a shepherd. Jesus wants to be the great shepherd this morning to you and to me, but not only us, but to all those that faint and are hungry and thirsty. Then said Jesus to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. You think the harvest is any less plenteous today? If anything, it's probably more. But I know it's at least as plenteous as it was then. The laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We say, well, you know, it's up to them. They have the choice. I'm just going to live my life before them. I want to tell you that the people that market to other people that own a business, they don't just throw open a store. They put effort and thought into it and resources and money, and they hire people to help them know how to do it. Folks, if we have something that's that great, what are we doing to help others? What kind of kind of effort are we putting into it? Is saying, well, I'm just going to live the life before me. You know, that's good, but is that a cop-out? Sometimes I think it can be a cop-out, an excuse not to do the things. Not everybody's called to be a pulpit minister. Not everybody's called to go to Africa or Asia. But everyone is called to do something. Everyone is called to do something. If you're old and you can't get around, you know what you can do? You can pray. I Sister Marilyn Eck, we were talking about this last night. Sister Marilyn Eck had she said, I don't know what I can. She got to feeling kind of discouraged, and I know some of her family's here this morning. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But she said, I feel like the Lord wants me to make grape nuts and take to people. And you know, that's what she did, and she was faithful right there in her place. She gave us some one time. It was very touching. I've heard of people, other people that were very touched by it. You don't always have to go. In fact, most of the time, it's probably not best to just go up and say, you're going to get saved. Make a friendship with them. Show them you care about them. Maybe even times where you're not with people, there's plenty of work. If you can't think of anything to do, I've got plenty of work you can do. There's web work, and there's app work, and there's computer work, and there's building of chapels, and all kinds of stuff. Folks, if we get all wrapped up, we try to get our ducks in a row, and I want to get my retirement all taken care of, folks, we're making a mistake. Because there are people that are dying that need Jesus. Brother Lewis Kimball, when he was a boy, he was just, I think he lived next door to the chapel, and he'd peek through the bushes and he'd look and see the services, and the Lord started pulling on his heart, and people reached out to him. I don't have that kind of testimony. I grew up in going right here to church, but I want to tell you what I did. I grew up an angry, bitter little boy. And I had some friends and some cousins that reached out their hand. They took time. I remember thinking back, there were times that they, in their flesh, they probably didn't want me to be there with them. And they would take me fishing. And they would take me camping, and they would do things with me, and they would listen to my rants and my all the things that I would do to try to get attention, and they would just quietly take me along. And that's why I'm here today. That's one of the reasons I'm here today, is because people took time. People right here in this church took time to show me that they really cared about me. That they wanted me to be saved. They didn't really that often even talk to me about getting saved. But they were with me. And they did stuff with me. And they included me. And they made me feel like I was wanted. Even though there were times where I'm sure it really was hard for their flesh. Because I was a pretty annoying guy. And I'm just telling you like it is. I know. I remember some things. What did the scripture say? When you make a feast, don't call the rich and all the people and the ones that are on your social standing and the ones that are at the same financial class as you. Folks, we're called to minister. What did it say in the first scripture we read? Go out into the highways and the hedges. Sometimes there are people and you think, I don't know if I want to invite them to church because I know they just fly off the handle and they'll say this and they'll say, it's going to mess up our service. It's not going to be as anointed. And they're going to say things that's going to be embarrassing. Bring them anyway. Because there's going to be, you don't know what the Lord's doing on His end. All we are is an earthen vessel. That's all we are. And we don't know how the Lord is talking to that person's heart, or maybe how He's been talking to their heart for weeks or months before we ever got to them. The Lord wants us to be a vessel and to do all we can. And we say, well, the Lord hasn't called me to do that yet. As you therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men. You know what that means? That we do the most good that we can in every situation. That if we see a need, that we're going to try to fill it. That doesn't mean that we go and we do things that we know that the Lord, that we're not qualified to do, or that the Lord hasn't given us a gift to do. You can't get up and preach a message without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You can't go and go on a mission trip without the call. But you can do a lot of things and say, Lord, help me. I'm going to do the very best I can. I'm going to invite the neighbor to church. I'm going to go take cookies to the lady next door. I'm going to... You know what I'm talking about. Let's get that scripture. 1 Timothy 6 and 17. Says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Before I say very much about that, I'd like to get another scripture in Luke, the 12th chapter. Maybe I'll just read it here for the sake of time. Said there was a, and I won't even read all the verses here. Remember the story about the rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully? You know, the Lord is the one that blessed him that his ground would bring forth plentifully. It wasn't a sin for him, for his ground to bring forth plentifully. He said, I don't know what to do with it all. Well, I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build some bigger barns. And then I'm going to say to my soul, soul, thou hast laid up much goods for many years. Take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, thou fool. I don't want God to call me a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he. Do you know this doesn't just apply to this man? Listen to this. This applies to you and me, everyone that reads this. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Folks, I know that it's nice sometimes to have this and that. It's nice to have a comfortable house. And it's nice to have a nice fast car. But did you hear the story that Brother Michael was telling about the man that died in Mozambique? I don't want to put anyone on a guilt trip this morning. But the Lord has more plans for our life than for us to just sit and enjoy whatever the Lord gives us for ourselves. You know, the man, the rich man might not, I don't know what the, if the rich man would have said, Lord, you've blessed me. You've blessed me richly. What do you want me to do with it? You know, the Lord might have said, well, I want you to give this much of it. And you've been wanting to add on to the house. I'm going to let you do that. But this over here is mine. This much here is mine. You know, I want to ask you, what does the Lord want you to do with what you've got? I'm speaking financially here, but this goes into all areas. I've just been talking about the riches that we have here in the kingdom of God, sitting here in heavenly places. We have resources, knowledge, money. Some of us have more, some of us have less, but all of us have something that we can impart to someone else. The scripture says, rich in good works. Folks, I want us to get a hold of this, that the Lord did not put us here to just sit and be at ease because we can. That's right. That's right. We live in probably, possibly the most prosperous nation that there's ever been, or very close to it. We have technological advancements. We have ease. There are so many things. You read about the situation just 100 years ago when you know how long it would have taken every one of you to get to this camp meeting 150 years ago? Or even 100 years ago? They didn't, even after they had cars, it was a long time. I think, what was it, 1955 when they put out the interstate system? You would have had to get a hotel. Cars didn't last as long back then. We live in a time where just about every comfort is ours. Do you know not everyone lives like that? There are people that are hungry physically and spiritually. There are people that are oppressed by their government. There are people that there are countries where there is a famine for Bibles. We don't have a famine for Bibles. We have Bibles, and we have. I can pull out my phone right here, and I've got the Bible, and I've got the songbook, and I've got the commentaries, and I've got the Strong's Concordance. I've got all that at my fingertips. There are people that don't have that, and that cry tears whenever a Bible is handed to them, because the Word of the Lord is so precious to them, because it's so scarce. I want to ask us this morning, do we have anything that's worth something? Is it valuable? Do we have resources that we can impart? Folks, when there are people that need the Word of the Lord, and there are people that are thirsty for the Word of the Lord, and there are people that are going through physical hard times, is it right for us to just sit back and say, well, I think I'm going to buy a new Thomas Kincaid painting today? I'm not saying, please, don't be offended here. I'm not saying that if you buy anything extra, it's wrong. And I'm not preaching against Thomas Kincaid paintings. I'm preaching against people that lay up treasure for themselves and are not rich toward God. The Lord has a plan for you, and He has a plan for what He's given you. The Lord blessed the rich man. The Lord is the one that caused his crops to prosper. But you know, the Lord wanted the rich man to say, well, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And I want us this morning to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with my time? Do you really want me to play pinball on my iPad all day? Do you want me to... I think we probably know the answer to that one. Folks, there is time. We have resources. We have time. We have health. We have strength. We have money. All of those things we have. Some have more than others. Some have different than others. But all of us have resources that need to be sanctified, committed to the Lord. What do you, no limits. Lord, what do you want me to do with what I've got? Who do you want me to bless with what I've got? This isn't a pride trip. You don't have to say, I've got all this, and I'm gonna distribute a little bit. We wouldn't have anything if it weren't for the Lord. But we do have some things. And the Lord wants us to take the gospel and take love, which means sometimes the Scripture says, if thy brother have need, and thou shuttest up thy bowels of compassion, how dwelleth the love of God in you? Something, I didn't quote it exactly right, but it's in 1 John. If we see the needs, and we go and we just live to ourselves, I'm talking about spiritually, financially, and every other area in life. If we live a life to ourselves and we don't ask the Lord what He wants us to do, and we don't do what we already know to do and what we can do, folks, I'm telling you, we're going to be responsible. I hope that's not too hard this morning. I feel a burden this morning that we will be able to take what we have been given and distribute it among those that don't have it. Matthew 25. 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For you followed all the rules. Is that what it says? You dressed right. Do you know I'm not discounting that? But there are things and responsibilities that we as Christians and those that have, we have a responsibility. For I was a hungered. And what's it say? And you said, I love you, poor thing. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. The Lord will send you something. For I was a hungered and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in. Naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee and hungered, or when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick and were in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it, as ye have done it unto one of the least of these. I want you to get a hold of these words this morning. Inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You know, there are people, I was in a camp meeting not long ago, and one of the ministers, I can't remember who it was, but he said, you know, there's people in your life that I call EGR, extra grace required. Do you know that there, every one of you probably have people like that in your life? Do you know that is not a reason to shun them? The world has a policy today. You need to make yourself comfortable. You need to put yourself in a protective cocoon. Get rid of all the toxic relationships. Anybody that's causing you discomfort, distance yourself from that. That's not what the gospel of Jesus Christ teaches. Folks, the people, even the people that hurt us, do you know they are also within our sphere of influence? If we can keep, by the power of God, from being bitter and holding a grudge against them, it's very likely, very possible, that the Lord may use you to save their soul. Do you want their soul to be saved? People that hurt you, people that in the past harmed you, people that cheated you, do you want to get revenge on them, or do you want them to go to the same heaven that you want to go to and have the same spiritual blessings in life that you have? Folks, the Lord has put a great commission. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that He will call laborers into His vineyard. The King shall, so that's what I, when it says the least of these, there are folks sometimes that we think are less than desirable. And I think if we really think too much about that, we really need to change our attitude anyway. But there are people that we think, well, they're not in the same class as I am. They're not, I don't want somebody to see me riding with them in my car, and maybe they don't smell too good. Folks, it said to go out into the highways and the hedges. It didn't say to just go next door. Let's go to Prince, whatever his name is. This is a marriage for the King's son. And it didn't just say, to go to all the nobility and then quit. It said to go to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. We have that word compel, persuade them by the most earnest entreaties, by persuasive arguments. I care about you. I care about your soul. I want you to be happy. I want your life to be fulfilled. You know, that's why we also preach about hell, because we don't want you to go there. Not because we just want you to be scared like a frightened rabbit and we want you to get on a guilt trip. It's because somebody, a while back, I had the opportunity to talk to someone that was caught up in, well, it was one of the alternative lifestyles. And for years, I never even said anything to this person about their soul. But one day, I had an opportunity, a genuine opportunity, and I said, I love you, but you're not ready to make it. Do you know that is included in this? The world teaches love and tolerance, but it's not love and tolerance when you have an opportunity to present to somebody the plan of salvation and also what happens if they don't accept it. It's not love. I told this person, I said, look, and we had a really good conversation. I was able to say these things. I said, here is the situation. I love you. You're laying in the middle of a train track, and instead of giving you a pillow and a blanket and saying, have a nice nap, there's a train coming. You're not going to survive. And he said, well, why are you so nice to this person over here that's treating me so badly because I live this way, and that won't speak to me? I said, because he's laying on the track too. Yes. A few miles down from where you are. Yes. Folks, the scripture wants us to take the truth to people in love. And we need to be careful and we need to be wise. It says to walk in wisdom that are without. And if we have the mindset that I'm going to do what the Bible says just because I want to go to heaven and I only want to do what's the basic requirement, so I'm going to go. I had somebody one time come to me and try to present his version of the gospel, and I was saved and I told him so, and I told him, you know, I don't really agree with what you're saying here. And he said, all right, you made your choice. I'm done. And he was done. You know, the Bible, Jesus does not want us to do it like that. The Lord, he said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And I knock, and I knock, and I knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him. Can you think of any more gentle, earnest, pleading than those words? And sometimes we treat it like, well, this is my responsibility. Well, I told them. They know they're responsible now because I told them. Maybe you shouldn't have told them. Maybe you should have gone fishing with them first instead. Or whatever. Then it says, the king shall answer. Then it shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. We heard about that last night, and it's very real. Prepared for the devil and his angels. We not only need to get a vision of what we have and how valuable it is, but we also need to get a vision of people heading for the other place where the fire is not quenched. You have any family members you love this morning? You might go shopping with them, and you might go play mini golf with them, and you might play games with them that's fun, but you really want them to go to hell? How much do you care about them? How much do you care about your boss or your employee or your neighbor? And are you willing? You know, the scripture says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, a lot of times we can think about that in a literal sense and say, I'm going to, oh, yeah, my child, I would die for them. If I saw a car coming, my child was standing in the middle of the road, I would die for them. But will you give up your life, the things that are fun, the things that take up your time? Can you put down your phone in the evenings long enough? Get off Facebook long enough to spend some time with your children? Not just saying do this and do that, but to show them. It says, I'm concerned that we, and I'm not going, I've never successfully raised children all the way, and so I'm not going to go into a child training lesson here. But I want to tell you that our children should be our first ministry, our most important ministry, something that we should devote our life to, something that we should lay down our life for. I care about my children. I want them to go to heaven. It's their choice, but we have a lot to do sometimes with the choice that they make. May we keep this first and foremost in our minds, that the people that are in our sphere of influence are the people that the Lord is going to hold us responsible for. If there are things that we could have done and we didn't do it, and we go along and we make sure we have all our ducks in a row and that we're provided for, that we have all the comforts in life, that we have all the time to do the fun stuff that we want to do, and we don't help the people that are in need. It said, for I was a hungered, ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Folks, I want us to keep these scriptures in our minds. I want us to have a goal in our mind. I'm going to help all the people I can to make it to heaven, to be happy, to escape everlasting punishment. I'm going to forgive those that have done me wrong, and I'm going to try to help them get to heaven too. You pray for me.